Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6. And I'm going to read it once over. There's a portion of psalms that were sung that are called Psalms of the Ascension. And these are the psalms that were written as the people of God would come and travel from all over and come to Jerusalem for the festivals. You know, each year they would go to the same place, but each year there would be something different going on in their lives. So they would be singing the same songs, the same psalms, but maybe something different would be going on. And as they were with the caravan of people together, their families, their neighbors, traveling together, maybe on their way to Jerusalem, they would be with one group, and then coming back, they might be with another group. So I kind of feel like it was kind of fluid what they were going through. Maybe their experiences, maybe the trials, maybe the roads that they were on. Maybe they had walked with a family member there one year, and the next year that family member might not have been there. So let's just kind of think, like, where are we in this season of our life as we read this psalm together, this portion of Psalms together, that this is about where we are now. Who's around you now? What is your family experiencing now? What transition have you gone through? Where are you journeying towards in this season? So I just want to read Psalms 130, 5 through 6. I wait for the Lord. I expectantly wait. And in his word do I hope. I am looking and waiting for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning. I say more than watchmen for the morning. Now let me ask a few questions to you. What are you waiting on God to do in this season? What have you stopped waiting for? What promise have you not yet received? What are you doing while you're waiting? Or have you lost your anticipation? Is there nothing right now that you could say, I'm waiting for? So as we think of these questions, I want to just close ourselves in a little bit with the Lord. Even close your eyes. I'm going to read the scripture one more time through. And I want you to really think about it, because I believe that the Lord truly will this morning. We'll read the questions over again. What promise are we waiting for? What are we anticipating? Or have you gotten to a point where there's just really nothing in front of you right now, where you're like kind of going through the motions? There's no anticipation, no expectation. Or have we set aside some things and I realized when I read the scripture, there was things that I had just stopped expecting because time had taken a toll and I had just stopped expecting. So I'm going to read this scripture one more time. Close yourself in with the Holy Spirit and ask him to show you where you might fall. And maybe there's something, a promise that you are holding on to tight, but there is other promises that you have let go. And let's just listen to the scripture again. Psalms 130, 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. I expectantly wait. And in his word do I hope. I am looking and waiting for the Lord more than watchmen wait for morning. I say more than watchmen for the morning. So as you're sitting there and I read these questions over to you again, just write down you and the Lord in your journal, in your notebook, in your Bible. What have you been waiting on God to do? What have we stopped waiting for? What have we been doing while we're waiting? And if there is nothing, I want to encourage you right now, ask God to plant a new vision in you, a seed of new life to be birthed, because we as women are called not to be barren, but to birth life in the spirit. Not all of us will be mothers in the natural, but we are all called to be mothers in the spirit, to birth promises, to birth souls, to birth dreams and visions. And without a vision, people perish. Our faith dwindles and our faith will weaken when it is not being worked. If our faith is not being worked, it will weaken. So the question today is, are we having an active faith and an active waiting? And if we don't know what we are expecting, we will miss it when it comes. If we truly do not have an anticipation and an expectation, we will miss it when it is in front of us. And I want to read Matthew chapter 11, verse 3, because we're talking about waiting and having an exact expectation and getting a vision in front of us for what God has for us. God, what's your vision? What's your plan? And in Matthew 11, verse 3, John the Baptist is in prison. And what I find very interesting about this portion of scripture is John the Baptist baptized Jesus and said he's the Messiah, right? This is God's son. And he was there when the heavens opened up. And God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. So John the Baptist heard that. We know, go back to infancy and go back to the womb. When Elizabeth and Mary came in contact with one another, right? The Bible says that in Elizabeth's womb, John jumped. So he knew the Messiah was there. He had a response. But yet here he is after all the time. And he asks in Matthew 11, verse 3, he sends his disciples and says, ask him, are you the expected one? Or should we look for someone else who will be the promised one? So he's saying, I've been waiting and now I don't know. Is this the one we are expecting? We have to have an expectation, an anticipation of the promises of God. And then Jesus was able to answer because there was a specific expectation that John had for who the Messiah would be. So I want to encourage all of us today to have specific expectations of what we are anticipating. Because then Jesus was able to answer, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. So once Jesus gave them this list to take back to John, that matched all the criteria that John was expecting. And that's the expectation we can have in our hearts and in our life. Lord, this is what I'm believing for. Is it your will for it to be done? Then I'm going to believe for this, this, and this. But your will be done, Lord. And when we are living our lives sold out to the gospel of Jesus Christ, our will and desires will be what his will and desire is for us. And then I believe that he will give us exact expectations because then we'll know when it's in front of us. Because we don't want to give in to something that's a counterfeit, something that doesn't belong to us, something that's not ours to take on. But when we know it's an exact expectation of what God has promised us, we'll see it and we'll recognize it. And that's what happened here. John was able to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah because he had an expectation. So when Jesus lists everything that was taking place, John was now assured that what he had been waiting for had arrived. And that's a beautiful thing. When we get to hold promises in our hand, what we've been waiting for has arrived. And that's what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us with today, that what you've been waiting for will arrive. So do we have a dream, a request, a promise that we've been waiting on? And if we don't, then we won't know when it's on the horizon. In Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3, we're instructed to get a vision and write it down and keep it in front of us. To get a vision and write it down and keep us in front of us. I'm not one for vision boards. I know that's a big thing. I feel like I would kind of change it all the time. I'm not even really big on journaling until recently and really writing down, Lord, this is my heart's desire. So this is a message that I've been putting into practice and really putting things in front of myself because I feel like if we're always just taking care of what's happening, we're not really moving forward. We're just managing this here. And God's calling us to manage and move. And we're women, so we can do that. Yep. Amen? But the question is, how are we waiting? And in the book of Romans, if you will turn there, we're going to look at waiting in hope, watching in anticipation, and working of our faith. This all takes place as we are waiting on the Lord for his promises. And we're waiting like watchmen. Watchmen are active. You know, I think of the military standing on a wall, an active soldier. We need them to be active, amen, and vigilant and awake and alert. That's what God's calling us to be. This psalm said more than a watchman on the wall. Picture a watchman on the wall, whether you picture castle times, because we all know I like to talk about that too, or someone in the military standing on a watchtower. That's how we should be looking in anticipation of the promises of God coming off the horizon for us with that vigilance, that anticipation, and there's a movement taking place. They're not sitting still, they're active. Their eyes are going to and fro. They're not distracted. There's a reason they're standing there, and they're in their position, and they're on their watch. And that's what God is calling us, more than a watchman on the wall, to look for God's promises as they're in front of us. Amen? Amen. So we're talking about waiting and watching, waiting in hope, Romans 5, verse 5. Such hope, because we're waiting in hope, and God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So we can wait in hope. So we're not just waiting, we're waiting in hope. Let's go to Romans 12:12. We're watching in anticipation. We're waiting in hope. We're watching in anticipation. Romans 12:12 says, constantly rejoice in hope, because your confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted in prayer, continually seeking God's wisdom, guidance, and strength. See, there's something that we are anticipating. This is a constant. This is a confidence. And this is a steadfastness as we are waiting. And there's a working of our faith. Let's go to Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, through experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. I love this scripture verse. We're abounding in hope, we're overflowing in confidence, and we're experiencing our faith. In order to experiencing something, you have to work with it. And this is a working of our faith. So as we are active in the waiting, as a watchman on the wall, we're waiting in hope, we're watching in anticipation, and there's a working of our faith taking place. So how are we waiting? Are we waiting patiently? So when we think about being patient or being impatient, one of the biggest places I am impatient, to be honest, is when I'm out to eat, because I get myself in the mood for something. So go with me here. I have an expectation and an anticipation. I already know, if I know where I'm going to go out to eat, I know what I want. I start thinking about, oh, I really like this there. I really want this. And there's an anticipation and an expectation, right? So when we're at a restaurant and we're waiting, and we have this anticipation and we know what we want, when the wait gets to be a little long and we start to get impatient, what happens? We start filling up on all these other things, right? You're eating the crackers that are, you were going to eat those crackers? Can I have those crackers? And all of a sudden, you have just dropped your expectation because you're impatient. Come on, stay with me here. Right? Because we don't want to wait. But we had an expectation, and this is really what we wanted. But we let time go by, and now we have given into a substitution that is way below standard. Right? If I'm going out for some good Alfredo and then I find myself filling up on crackers, come on. But we have expectations. Come on. We have expectations in the spirit. We have expectations for what God's going to do in our life, promises that we're holding on to, scriptures that we're believing for. And then it starts to get a little too long of a wait, and we just start taking substitutions. And we have dropped our expectations down, and the whole purpose of waiting is lost. Why bother waiting to begin with if we're just going to allow substitutions and counterfeits to come in front of us and take that in? So how are we waiting? Some other places that you might have trouble waiting is in traffic, right? Amen. I'm pretty good in traffic. I don't drive a lot either, so I'm usually not the driver, so I could always pick up my book and start reading and just kind of zone out. But some people that I drive with like to try to circumvent the line. Right? Probably will always like flip on a blinker and be like, I'm just going to get off here and try. And I'm just going to try to get around, because you can't really see what's taking so long. Come on, when we're waiting for promises and we have an expectation and anticipation and we don't know what's happening, God, I can't see why this is taking so long. So we try to circumvent the wait and we end up going out of our way, which could probably take us way longer than needed to had we just sat still for a moment and waited. But we get tired of waiting. We come off our original route And we miss the mark of where God wants us to be. We get off course. We get out of ready position. God's calling us to be in a ready position so that we don't miss the mark. If we try to rush God, we're going to miss the mark. So how are we waiting? Another interesting place that I find is a hard place for people to wait is in a doctor's office. And only because I've been on the other side of that window. And when, you know, patients would come in and, you know, they give their name and they're waiting. And, you know, I would go out and get our patient and someone would be like, I've been waiting. I'm like, okay, I'll find out. I'll be right with you. And then, you know, a few more minutes, somebody else like, oh, I've been waiting. And what they don't realize is everybody's waiting on different things. Everybody's waiting for a different promise. In that situation, people are waiting for different tests to be done, different doctors. I used to work in an office that had 5 doctors, and they all worked at different paces. So some of their patients would be, oh, I'm in, I'm on time, I'm out. And the next patient is still there, and they're like, I've been waiting. And they came in after me, and they left before me. And I would have to explain they're here for something different. See, ladies, we're all waiting on something different from the Lord. So be encouraged. That even if your promise isn't in your hand yet, it doesn't mean it's not coming. It doesn't mean you're not next. Amen. See, we have a fear that we're going to be overlooked and forgotten, right? Don't you do that in a doctor's office? Well, maybe they just forgot I'm here. Yeah. Right? That used to be the knock on the counter. Did you forget I was here? No, we didn't forget. We didn't forget. God hasn't forgotten you, ladies. He hasn't forgotten you, the promises that he's given you. You haven't been overlooked. You haven't been set aside. You're not going to be left alone in the waiting room. The promises of God are yea and amen for you. Hold on, hold on, hold on. And we're going to look with active expectation ahead of us. Amen? We're going to wait in hope, as Romans 5:5 said. We're going to watch in anticipation. And we are going to be working our faith. Amen? How about when we're waiting for a day on the calendar to come up? Or waiting for a door of opportunity to open up, right? That's kind of hard. I know we have some plans coming up ahead in church and we're waiting for that day on the calendar to show up. Or maybe you're waiting for a job opportunity and an open door. There's preparation that takes place before we get to that day. So as you're waiting for your promises from God, as you're anticipating, ask the Lord, Lord, what should I be doing now in preparation for that promise? There's a working to be done. There's prayer. There's preparation in prayer that needs to take place in every stage, in every season as we're looking ahead. You know, if you're going to go for a job or a career, you look at what is necessary in order for you to get that job and career, and then you follow those guidelines to get there. That's your part. That's being active. But there's work and preparation, and it's hard work, and it's a lot of time and effort, and can be a struggle. But it's worth it because then when the door of opportunity opens and a job is there, you can confidently walk right through. But there's things we're not going to be able to walk through when God opens the door and say, He says, I have this ready for you, but you didn't prepare yourself. Are we in preparation for the promise that's ahead? That's the question. How are we waiting? And let's put word out there, put word out there, put prayer out there, because then we know when it's the right door that opens up. Start praying now for what you desire. Start putting the word out now. You know, I was thinking this morning that, you know, Pastor Carolyn Pauley jokes, you know, when he was in his dating season of life, and it wasn't me, that Pastor Carolyn went in his room and prayed for the right spouse at the right time. And, you know, she prayed me out of a terrible situation in my life that was going on miles and miles and a state away and hours away. But when we met for the first time, now granted, my miniskirt and spiked shoes almost gave her a different idea. I confess. But I connected, my spirit connected with her immediately. Why? Because she'd been praying for me. She birthed me in the spirit long before we met. Long before, when I was in physical contact, the Spirit of God in her stirred up the Spirit in me. And I could tell you supernatural events that I was walking through at the time, simultaneously while she was praying. So if there's someone, if you're believing for a spouse for yourself, pray. Send the word out. Cover them in the blood. Lord, I don't know who they are, but I cover them in the blood right now. Protect. Hedge in. Keep them from harm. If you're praying for your children's spouses, start praying now. Long before the boys were of dating age and meeting their forever girls, I started praying. Lord, whoever they are, cover them in the blood. Protect them, Lord. Thank you that those girls will love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They will follow you all the days of their life. Plead the blood over them right now. Protect them and keep them from harm. Prayer in preparation, because then when the promise comes, you know it. When the promise is there, there's no question, like John the Baptist, is this the one we've been waiting for? Why? Because there was an expectation, there was an anticipation, so that there was a connection when he saw and heard the words that Jesus was saying. That's how we know when the promises are being fulfilled, and we can prepare in prayer. Amen? So how are we waiting? We're waiting like watchmen on the wall. That's how we're waiting. We're waiting actively, awake, alert, and aware. To be awake means to be aroused from sleep and into action. Alert means swift, agile, and nimble. Aware is informed and knowledgeable. So we're not asleep as we are watchmen on the wall. We are awake. We are awake in our spirits, and we are awake in the natural. We are always in a ready position, ladies. And we're alert. We're walking. We're moving. We're watching what's taking place around us. We're aware, which means we're knowledgeable. We're informed. We're informed about what it is our desires are, what the plans, dreams, and purposes that God has placed in your heart. What is it? Be informed about it. Get knowledgeable about it. If God's put a dream and a vision in your heart and you're like, Lord, that seems kind of big, get knowledgeable about it. Get informed about it. We're active as we wait. And we're swift, we're agile, we're nimble, we're ready at all times. That means on our toes, ready to go. We're active in prayer. We're aware of the words that we're speaking as we wait. We will kill our promises, ladies, if we are not praying over them and with our words. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Are we speaking life to the dreams and visions and promises God has given us? Or are we speaking death? You might be waiting for the promise of a divine healing in your body. What are we speaking? You might be waiting and believing for a restoration in families, for children to come home with the Lord. What are you waiting for? What are the promises of God? This is personal. This is between you and God. What are you waiting for? What has God promised you? Don't kill that promise with your words. Speak life over it as you pray. Amen? We're aware and we're alert and we're awake in the spirit because we need to know when the enemy is in front of us. When there is a distraction, that the enemy is strong in front of you and it's not the promises of God. We have to be awake and alert in the spirit so we know the schemes and plan of the enemy when there's an obstacle and we can see it and feel it in the spirit. And say, okay, God, this is the enemy bringing an obstacle, and we go to war in the spirit, amen? Because we're warring women. We're talking about waiting and expectations, and in 1 Kings 18:44, the prophet Elijah was waiting for the rain to come, waiting on the rain. That was the next thing. This is a story on Mount Carmel. You can go and look all this up. But the next thing that he was anticipating and waiting was the rain to come. And his servant said, Master, where's the rain? And he sent out a servant and said, you're going to see it on the horizon. Look for it, right? We have to look for what we're waiting on God for. 7 times that servant went back. I thought to myself this morning, I wonder how far of a run that was. I'm not a runner. So that was like, I wonder how far he had to run back and forth, listening to the prophet say, go back and look again. Go back and look again. Go back and look again. Sometimes the waiting seems long and the waiting seems hard. But go back and look again, ladies. Keep our eyes out on the horizon because the promises that God has given us will show up and will come. And Elijah was waiting for the rain and he knew it was the next thing that was to take place was this rain was coming. He had done everything he was going to do on his part, right? The fire had come down. So the next thing that was going to happen was the rain. This was his expectation and his confidence. He did nothing else until this rain came. 7 times that servant went back and forth. running back and forth. Sometimes we wait on God. When Daniel was waiting and prayed for 21 days, but he knew his prayer went up to heaven. He didn't try another form of getting God's attention. He stayed consistent in prayer. Consistent in prayer while he waited. And that's what changed the atmosphere. Consistent in prayer. He didn't change one thing. He went to the same place, prayed to his God yet again. Pray yet again, ladies. Pray yet again. Pray yet again. Because it's coming. It's on the horizon. Men, amen. Do not get distracted. Hebrews 12:2 says, I will fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Fix our eyes. See, the delay wants to bring distraction. We are not going to be distracted because there's a delay. We are not going to be distracted because there seems to be a delay. When I was talking about preparing for prayer, let's go back, because the story of Esther, she prepared. She prayed. I'm not talking about the year waiting to go before the king. I'm talking about the preparation of prayer so that she knew God's timing and she knew when the open door was. Without that time and preparation of prayer, and come on, she was a female, we know. We could just go running in, guns a-blazing. Do you know what's going to happen? Right? Think about it. She got news that her people were going to be killed. She was going to be killed. I think there was a lot of self-control, if you ask me, because I think I would have gone banging on that door. But she waited and she prepared in prayer. And that's our example in the Word about just start praying now. Take the necessary steps now so we know when the open door is there. She knew when the time was right. She was standing before the king with an opportunity. And then she said, I'm going to have a banquet. And she went back and waited again. We'll know by the Spirit of God, but we'll only know when we put the time and preparation in prayer when we are waiting. Amen? Amen. So let's talk about Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:12, because she waited. She was waiting and believing for a child. And when I did some studying, it says for 19 years she waited. And Peninnah had 10 sons by this time. And there was Hannah crying for one in the waiting. 19 years in the waiting while someone else was getting the blessing 10 times over while she was waiting. And in 1 Samuel 1:15, Hannah's in the temple crying. Her distress caused her to press into God. When we are waiting and there is pain in waiting, we go to the Lord. She says in 1 Samuel 1:15, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. That's what we do when we wait. When we wait for the promises of God. We pour out our soul before the Lord in the waiting. 10 times over, Peninnah was getting the blessing that she wanted and desired. And yet, it became distressing. Where did she go, though, with that? Did she lose sight of the promise? No. She ran to the only one who could bring her that promise. And she poured out her soul before the Lord. Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in well-doing. That means weariness grows, so weariness starts somewhere. If the word says, do not grow weary in well-doing, growing has to start somewhere. So my encouragement to you right now in this moment is if there is a promise, there's a dream, there's a vision, there's an expectation of something you've been waiting on, and you've been growing weary, go back to the source and get that root of weariness out so that it doesn't grow and take over and kill the promise. Amen? Recognize it, that you're growing weary, and acknowledge it before the Lord. Remember last month we talked about taking all of our emotions to the Lord. Go to him and say, Lord, I'm starting to grow weary. I need strength. I don't know what Hannah was saying to the Lord in the temple. Well, who knows what she was saying? But she poured out her soul before the Lord. If that's where you are in this time of watching, of being a watchman on the wall waiting because your promise is on the horizon, go to the Lord. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 40, verse 31, we can change in the waiting. We can be changed in the waiting. strengthened and empowered. Let me read this verse to you. This is Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. Are you expecting today? Are you looking for? Are you hoping in the Lord? Then this is your promise. You will be changed and renewed in strength and power today, and you will lift up your wings and mount up close to God as eagles and mount up to the sun, and you shall run and not be weary, and you shall walk and not faint or become tired. This is a promise to you if you are waiting on the Lord. If you are looking to him for your expectation, if your hope is in him, this is a promise to you today. You could say, Lord, I receive this promise right now. Amen. Something's being produced in us, ladies, as we wait. And this was something the Holy Spirit said. Ask for God to reveal to you, to show you specifically what is taking place in the situation or in the person as you are waiting for the specific request to come. See, because it's more than the request. It's more than this answer. We think we're just waiting on this answer, but there's so much more taking place around that. And the Lord said, ask me because I want to show you. I want to show you what's been taking place around that as you're waiting. I want to show you what's been accomplished. I want to show you what's been transpiring along the way. I want to show you what's being produced along the way because we're not just waiting for our request. Yes, there's a request, but God is doing so much more around that. And as we ask the Lord to show us, it encourages us to see that God is working, God is moving, the gears are shifting, and the promise is coming. So it's not just about that one request that we're waiting for. Ask the Lord to show you, God, what else are you doing here? Because if this is taking, as long as I've been waiting, 19 years, right, for Hannah, 7 times back and forth, the servant going back and forth, Daniel waiting 21 days. If I've been waiting, if John the Baptist is in prison going, is this really what I've been waiting for? There's so much more taking place and going on around. Ask the Lord to reveal and show you what he is doing because he is working on your behalf. Amen? So we are expecting, we are looking for, and we are hoping in God. I think of the father in the story of the prodigal son. He was waiting. He had an expectation. And he knew who he was waiting for. So he knew exactly who was going to come down that road. There was an anticipation in his heart. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord, ladies. We're waiting. The word expect in Isaiah 40:31, because we're in expectation, we're looking for, and we are hoping in him, in God alone. Anticipate is the occurrence of something is coming. See, if we anticipate nothing, we're going to get nothing. So what's our expectation? What are we anticipating? Because when we anticipate the substance of the promise in our hand, that's exactly what we will receive. That's faith. Amen? The next part in that verse in Isaiah 41:31, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, this is us, we're expecting in him, we're looking for, this is to turn one's eyes towards something in the direction or order to see it. This is not getting distracted with everything else. Not allowing the delay to distract us. We are looking for that promise. We are looking towards that dream, that vision, that goal. That's where our eyes are fixed. What is it that you're waiting for today? Keep your eyes fixed. Hope in. Hope means the feeling that what is wanted can be. That's a hope. What I want can be. It is here. It will happen. God said it. I believe it. That's what hope is. Again, Psalms 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I want to read through some other scripture verses just to encourage us in the waiting. So if you want to write these down, and I'll read them out for the sake of time, I won't have you turn there. Psalms 37:7 says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret. Wait on the Lord for him to act. Who are we waiting on? We're waiting on the Lord. We're watchmen on the wall. We're active in our waiting. We're awake. We're alert and we are aware of everything that is taking place. You know, when there's a watchman on the wall, and I picture a soldier just watching, they know when it's an enemy, they know when it's someone, okay, that's someone who's safe, right? That's part of our team. I know that. I'm actively watching. I'm actively looking. So when something's out of place, you know it, right? When something's out of place, if it's your home, you know, something's not right here. Somebody's been here. Somebody touched something. Somebody moved something that's mine. We need to be that vigilant in the spirit when we are waiting on the Lord for something. Psalms 38:15 says, "But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer." Remember, we're not waiting on a person. We're not waiting for someone to do something for us. We are waiting on God, and only God can meet our needs. So don't think, well, if they'll just do this, if they'll just get to this point, if they'll just help me here, if they'll just... We're not waiting on someone. We're waiting on God and God alone. He's the only source that we are waiting on. Amen? Psalms 52:8-9. "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly." Because I trust in God. See, this isn't about being impatient. This is about trusting when we're waiting. This isn't about being impatient. But that's what we get caught up in. We start to feel impatient because it's not going to come. It's not going to happen. If I do this, then maybe it will happen. If I change this direction, it will take place. If I settle for this, this will be enough. We're not growing impatient. We're losing our trust in God when we start trying to bounce around and starting to fix things. Ask the Lord, "Lord, is this a trust thing between you and me right now? Do I trust you enough to wait?" Isaiah 30, verse 18, "The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." We're going to be blessed when we wait on the Lord. And this is an active wait. There's a preparation. There's that time of prayer as we're waiting. This isn't a stagnant wait, right? We're a watchman on the wall. We are awake, we are alert, we are aware, and we are preparing in prayer. That's how we are called to wait. And in Micah 7:7, this can be your declaration. You can make this a confession. "But as for me, I will look expectantly for the Lord, and with confidence in him, I will keep watch. I will wait with confident expectation for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Just repeat this after me. Micah 7:7. "But as for me, I will look expectantly for the Lord, and with confidence in him, I will keep watch. I will wait with confident expectation for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Amen. Amen. And I just want to close with this, a study I was doing, Dr. David Fettes, and I just want to read this to you. He's talking about waiting. It says, "When it is night, you can't do anything to make it daytime. You have to wait for the sun to rise. But that waiting can be a positive waiting, eager waiting in strong expectation. You might be in the darkness of disappointment and sorrow. You might not see any rays of gladness and hope, but wait. Wait for the Lord to shine on you." We're going to wait, ladies, for the Lord to shine on us. Amen.